Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. God bless you, and welcome to our Thursday, August 27th, Report from the Wall. I have with me Pastor Kevin Honeycutt, all the way from the great state of Tennessee. Good morning, Pastor. How are you?
Doing fine. Good morning, Pastor. It's a blessed day the Lord has made, so we're going to rejoice, and we're going to be glad in it.
Amen. Even though overnight, I mean, Hurricane Laura did hit at 150 miles per hour. I don't know what kind of damage people are going to see, but still, how do you rejoice in the midst of a massive hurricane like that? I mean, what do you do if you're born again and you're confronted with that? Were you wise to leave and you realize that God could rebuild? Were you protected? What's the answer to people out there right now going through such a storm?
The answer for just about any situation that we go through, honestly, we've heard politicians say it, we've heard doctors say it, we've heard military people say it, we've heard people in church say it, grandmas, grandpas, family members, they've all had this one thing in common, and that was our faith in Jesus Christ, our faith in Yeshua. Amen. Faith in Him. Faith and trust in the Lord, having a real, genuine relationship with our Heavenly Father, hallelujah, to give you hope. He's an anchor for the soul, and as He gives us hope for today and hope for tomorrow, oh Lord, as we have faith in Him, He will carry us through, He will help us, and He will let us know some things. God lets His people know to stay or to get out. It's whether people listen to or hear, and some people can't go because of their age or their vehicle or whatever might be of the case. If somebody couldn't get out of the way, there's safety in the midst of the storm. For them that call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved.
You know, Pastor, I hear what you're saying, but I got to ask you, if God really loved me, then why would He allow me to lose everything I've built my whole life around?
Well, He did that with Job too, didn't He?
Ha.
Job had everything.
Yeah.
And there was an enemy that come and said, you ain't got nobody here on the planet who trust you and love you. And the Lord said, yes, I do. I got somebody. If you don't got nobody, I got Job. Listen here, do all you want to do to Job, but you can't kill him. And so that's exactly what Satan did. He come against his, there was loss of life, loss of servants, loss of income, loss of his entire home. And then when everything was in wreck, everything was in shambles, and he just sitting there shaking, a disheveled man, said, why don't you just curse God and die? And Job said, I can't do that. giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That seems kind of crazy, but when you have faith, when you know the Lord and you know how good he is, hallelujah. If there is something taken, also look back at Job. When something was taken, he got double at the end because he held on, remained faithful. Now, Job, he kind of went a little bit, maybe I like to think this, he almost went crazy. I believe I probably would have. You probably, anybody who lost the whole entire family, your children, your servants, your money, your house, and then you got some friends that come over to, you know, to help you out. But then they say, well, you full of sin. You hypocrite. What kind of friends is that? And I believe we probably all have some of those somewhere in our life, or we've met them. And even with all the encouragement of the friends, Job held on. I believe he got mad. I believe he got upset. And I believe Job did just like everyone under the sound of our voice does. And we say, Lord, why? Why me, Lord? But if we'll hold on, if we'll just trust God, I'm telling you, he'll pull you out. He'll make a way out of no way, and he can give you double for your trouble. Go over to God. Yes, he can. Yes, he can.
Yes, he can. I love it. Double for your trouble. What a great answer. And I was thinking about King David when Saul was chasing him. He kept going to Jonathan and say, what did I do? And then he'd cry out to Saul, what did I do? And sometimes we just don't understand why things happen, but God is working a testimony is what you're saying. I think it's an amazing, amazing answer. People that really do love Jesus, people that really do love the Holy Spirit, love Father God, and have learned and known him. I mean, the loss of everything in this world does not compare to maintaining relationship with him. And the promise is eternal life. And, you know, this is just a vapor here. I mean, people are waking up to the reality, Pastor Kevin, that life here on earth is a vapor. And it's not about how much we can amass unto ourselves. It's about how we can be conformed or transformed inwardly into that divine nature that Father God has desired for us to partake of, right?
Yes. I've noticed, Pastor, when adversity comes, if you can watch testimonies of people who survived the tornado. They had beautiful homes. They lost everything. And then when the storm had come, everything was in shambles. They had nothing. But I heard the testimonies one after another for years have been saying this. Thank God we're still alive. Thank God for our families intact. They had something to be thankful for. And when we have our hope and trust and that real genuine relationship with our Heavenly Father, that will be on the inside of us, that no matter if we lost everything, see, that's something about God's people. God's people are a laughing people. God's people are a joyful people. God's people are a comeback people. And when adversity hits us, we don't stay down. Somehow, some way, that vigor, that inspiration, that good thing on the inside, oh Lord, it rises up and we get stirred and inspired. I thank God I'm alive. I lost everything. Thank God I'm alive. How can they say that? There's something on the inside. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And I see so many people, they're saying, I've lost it all, but I thank the Lord I'm alive. Even though they might have been far away from God, even though they might have not been as we are, where we talk to God every day, I'm very thankful for God's grace, his love, and his mercy. I don't know how many times God will put up with somebody, but thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his goodness. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And it's an amazing thing how we can be inspired, encouraged, and rise back up one more time.
Man, oh man, I'm thinking of the scriptures out of the book of Hebrews of what you're preaching right now to the ends of the earth is how people took joyfully the spoiling of all their goods for the glory. Paul the Apostle said that the exchange of all that he had accomplished in Judaism, he said, I counted it but dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. He was running to win Christ. And again, this is a mental shift. This is a spiritual shift in people's hearts and minds about what is important. Thank God for all he's given us, but we do hold it loosely, don't we, Pastor?
We very much do. We do. And it's because, I'll be honest, a lot of people don't want to admit it, the flesh. Every one of us battle it. We have the lust of it. We want this. We want that. We attain this. We attain that. Have you ever been to the point when you finally got it? I mean, you was at the top of the mountain. Once you've been to the top of the mountain, it really don't have its shininess and its glitter, and it's once you've had it, you've had it, and you don't care if you have it again because you've been there.
That's right.
And that's how a lot of people get. They get to things. They attain this. They get the wealth. And then if it's a sudden loss, they look at the most important thing. It's amazing how the soul and spirit on the inside of every man and woman, how it will deal with you when this trying time comes. And thankful to the Lord that His precious Holy Spirit will deal with each and every one, no matter what shape they're in.
Amen. Amen. And this is the journey of a lifetime. I want to shift for just a moment. I want to make sure, number one, confirming that everything's going through pretty clear. I'm pretty sure it is. I want to shift into something, Pastor, because in about 30 days, just about 30 days, 35 days, mm-hmm. you're going to be coming to Northwest Arkansas for a divine appointment. You see, there's an appointment mm-hmm. that is ready to take place for all of God's people, I believe, around the world. And I want to just look at this briefly. I want to go back, and we're talking particularly about the Feast of Tabernacles. And I want to read out of Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 14. And everybody basically that's been following this broadcast knows these passages pretty good. And here's what we read. It says, "And God said," and this is on the fourth day of creation, "God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the sun and the moon, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. God saw that it was good. The evening and the morning were the fourth day." The word I want to refer to there are two words that God actually said in verse 14, that the purpose of the giving of these lights was to divide the day from the night and let them be for signs and seasons. Now, I want to look at the word seasons because this is where we get this moed. And I want to be very accurate in the Hebrew definition. And I want the saints of God to hear this in their spirit. The word moed or moed literally, properly, is an appointment. So when you have an appointment, I've got about four of them today after our radio broadcast, and they are to be marked down on a calendar. And so God set the sun, moon, and stars, Pastor Kevin, in my understanding, in the heavens as a calendar. And God says that the idea of signs and seasons or moeds was an appointed time. Literally in the definition, it means an appointment, mm-hmm. a fixed time or season. So it's fixed. It's on the calendar. Specifically, a festival. So what I'm understanding through the Hebrew definition about the fourth day of creation, that God set the sun, moon, and stars in the heavens as a calendar for fixed appointments, fixed times or seasons, specifically festivals. And I continue to look in this definition, and it talks about the appointed feast days. The word feast is actually in the definition. So, Pastor Kevin, what I'm hearing in my spirit is that God at the beginning of time has put the sun, moon, and stars for all kinds of reasons, but one of them properly is to gather his people together for an appointment on October 2nd through October 9th, 2020, is in our calendar today. God has an appointment with his people. And the enemy would love to disappoint by not bringing that forth. I believe that while it's not connected to our salvation in the sense of, well, I'm saved or not saved, we're not talking about Jewish things here. We're not talking about Christian things here. We're talking on the fourth day of creation, God did something, that he has a fixed and definite season or time. It's an appointed time. It's a feast time. And he gives us these appointed feasts to gather together because he has an appointment with us. We have an appointment with him. Pastor Kevin, I'm excited about that. And I want to get into that just a little bit more. But your thoughts about the appointed feast of the Lord.
The appointed feast of the Lord also, you know, you talk about the gathering. And there's also something there that I believe is of major importance. A lot of, if we'll look back at the church world, a lot of church world doesn't take this one thing I'm fixing to say. They don't take it as important because I have heard in the church world, people have said, they've said things like this. We have a 45-minute church experience. I heard many pastors say, we have 35 minutes of entertainment, this, that, and the other, and 15 minutes of the presence of God. That's backwards, and that's wrong. We shouldn't have this and that and the other. Going back to what you're saying, Feast of Tabernacle and this gathering, the one of the great things I believe that we're going to see in this gathering, and one thing of the greatest things that he had in that gathering of that time that we're going to also participate in this coming October and excited about.
Amen.
In that gathering is going to be the presence of the Lord with his people. My Lord, I don't know if a lot of people understand that. When the presence of God is there, the miraculous is there. His voice is there. Healing is there. I don't know if anybody's ever experienced that before, but think about it. The presence of the Lord with them. What do you think, Pastor?
Well, Pastor Kevin, here's what I believe, and I'm just going to be very sincere, just right here as you are.
Yes.
I believe that God's Holy Spirit, the true God that created all these things,
mm-hmm.
the true Holy Spirit, has a people that have a voice connecting with his word and spirit to prophesy
yes.
that the appointment that God is wanting to gather his people to during this Feast of Tabernacles is an appointed time for him to lay forth strategy to equip his people to go through the times that are coming upon this earth. The thing that he's been having me personally prophesy and others is that this is a season where God is going to roll away the reproach from all of his ecclesia, from his people. And last night we were gathered together for an awesome Bible study in Decatur, Arkansas, on the property where we're going to be celebrating the feast. And the epiphany came, the revelation came, the understanding came, the way that God is going to roll away the reproach from off of his people is through a fresh revelation of the blood of Yeshua, that the blood is the atoning sacrifice. Now, you're cracking up. Talk to me, man. What's going on?
You know, the reason I'm saying this is because for such a long time, now I'm going to go back to church world. Church world has been focused on fluff and stuff. Church world has been focused on finance and money and building their own kingdoms. And what has been going on? God has a remnant on this planet. God has been dealing with his servants. God has been dealing with people about the blood, about the covering of the blood, about the importance of the blood. And I'm so stirred because I remember in January and in February, we've been telling people, get covered by the blood of Jesus. In the blood, there's healing, there's deliverance, there's peace, there's joy, there's provision, there's power in the blood, especially when we've seen this pandemic that has stopped the entire world. We was telling people, not only us, others have been saying the importance of the blood. And why I'm laughing is because I'm in agreement, and I'm stirred. Hallelujah. There's power in the blood of the Lamb, and not so many people are talking about it. They're waiting to get back to normal, the new normal. And when they're going back to normal, they're forgetting, you know, something about that also in that gathering. I believe it was in Isaiah, and we could also see in Ezekiel, but the Shekinah glory, the presence of God filled that place and was with them. And when he's there, yes, there's revelation. Yes, there's plan. Yes, there is a revealing of things to come. God will do it. And I am so thankful to hear that because there is an awakening that I believe has taken place. I feel it in my spirit. I feel it. There's an awakening. I said, I don't know whether to call this a revival. Is this the last end time revival? Is this the last harvest that we're about to see? But it's not everybody's listening. Not everybody's seeing. Only those who have an ear to hear what the Spirit would say to the church, they're hearing. And there is a gathering of the saints of God that has taken place here in our country and around the world. Very specific, very, very specific. And when you talk about revealing of the shed blood, the revealing of the blood, the revealing of the power, there's going to be a lot to that. Hallelujah. It's drawing people in. Salvation, healing, and deliverance. A purity must be purified by the blood. And we have been corrupted for a long time. Church have been corrupted. Leaders have been corrupted. And the only thing that can purify, I feel it, it's the blood. And I, when you said that, I got a tingling all over me from the top of my head down to the soles of my feet about the blood. Woo, glory.
Pastor Kevin, as you're talking, what I'm hearing in my spirit right now is I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. And why that's important, the abundance of rain, that's what Elijah said, right? I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. And what this appointment is, and what we're doing by prophesying, God wants a word spoken into a people, and those who by faith receive the word are prepared to receive the blessing. Now, the example is Hannah. I think Hannah is a prime example of a woman that is in bitter travail because of the persecution on her life, because of the reproach that she was covered with most of her life as a woman not giving childbirth. But when she was told by Eli, the high priest of those days, when she was told, your request will be granted unto you, that woman's faith, I mean, she had to have a fertile faith before she could ever produce that fertility to bring forth the man child that she did. So her faith was fertile. The prophetic word was spoken by Eli, the Lord grant you your request. She received that word, that seed, into her faith, and then it produced a year later the greatest prophet that Israel had ever known, not just a general baby, but God gave her Samuel.
Yes.
Are you kidding me? And so the idea of sowing prophetic word or prophesying is for a people that will receive, and then as they receive it by faith, God sends the rain, and they produce the blessing. I mean, it's so abundantly clear that in this appointed feast, God is going to send the rain to water the seed, so that the people will produce what God said. And what's he saying? I'm rolling reproach off of your life. I'm removing humiliation, shame, disgrace, guilt, shame, condemnation. I'm obliterating it. I'm removing it. How? By the revelation of my son's blood in your mind and your spirit, not head knowledge. But I'm going to give you an epiphany, a revelation of the blood that is speaking at the right hand of God right now. That atoning blood, Pastor Kevin, how important is this to remove the stain of shame from the body of Christ, that we might be able to take our stand in these last days confidently that God is doing a great thing?
You mentioned the rain, and as you were speaking, I feel this all over me. When you were saying that, I was drawn to Isaiah 44 and verse number 3, when he said, I will pour water about upon him that is upon dry ground, my spirit